A good morning. I suppose one of the great fears when you're a preacher is my fly undone? That's one of them. I'm just sharing some truths with you here. Two is, do I have to leave the pulpit in a hurry to visit the bathroom? So sometimes it's better to take precautions. So here we are. Well, God bless you. I'm glad you're here this morning, and I really pray the Spirit of God upon you and the love of God upon you. It's so good to have Pastor Kane and Alyssa back. We've missed you guys, and I know that you've missed us. Well, lie a little, you know, just say yes. I was talking to his dad while they were away, and I said, oh, you heard from Kane and Alyssa? And he said, oh, I've just sent them a message. And I said, well, hang on a minute, they're on the honeymoon. You shouldn't be sending them messages. You know, leave them alone. Let them have a good time. Anyhow, it's all good. This morning I want to share with you again on spiritual gifts. In the book of Corinthians, where the gifts are listed, the church in Corinth was a fairly amazing church. They lived in a very evil city. For instance, there was 1,000 temple prostitutes in that city. And so the worship of idols was done immorally with prostitutes. It was just a wicked and horrible thing. There were other things happening there in that city. It was a key trade route, was a powerful city, was a wealthy city. And in the midst of this is a church. And of course, they are going gangbusters for God. The Spirit of God is working in them. They're vibrant, they're alive, they're exercising the gifts. And Paul writes them this letter in 1 Corinthians and says, look, you don't come behind in any way, but I need to bring some order in what you're doing. And this is why we get an understanding of how the Spirit works. But I want to make this comment. Don't box God up. Don't say, God can only work this way and he can't work that way. You've got to trust God. You've got to let God work. We're indwelt by the Spirit of God. Therefore, the Holy Spirit, who is the Lord of the harvest, do remember that. Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They're white under harvest. But he said, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into the field. Well, that's you and I. We're the laborers in the field. And so we trust the Holy Spirit. And and because he lives within us, he can bring out what he needs to bring if we'll be available. That's our involvement. Okay, so let me just say that we've considered six of the gifts so far, and we're down to three remaining. And the three remaining are faith, healings, and miracles. They're called the power gifts. Why are there gifts of the Holy Spirit? Well, Jesus wants an empowered church that's led by the Holy Spirit. Of course, as I've said, is the Lord of the harvest. And we're going to go to a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. It says, I always thank my God for you and the gracious gifts he has given you now that you belong to Jesus Christ. Through him, God has enriched your church in every way with all of your eloquent words and all of your knowledge. This confirms that what I told you about Christ is true. Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly await for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. And God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ. You notice in that scripture there, it says, gracious gifts. That's the empowering. Grace is about an enabling that God gives us to do the things we need to do. He says that we belong to Jesus. Can I encourage you in this? And I've said it in many ways before. We belong to him. And we can say, well, Jesus belongs to us. Well, yes, but actually we belong to him. And so when we come to terms with that, we say, all right, if I belong to him, he's the boss. He's the Lord. What does he want? But we can be a little independent as people, particularly Australians. One reason that Australians made great soldiers during the war was because they could think independently. They'd respond to an order, but even if their officers or their NCOs were killed, the soldiers still knew the objective and went on and did it. That's a general statement, but what I'm really trying to say is there's a spirit of independence in us if we're not careful, that we need to bring into order and say, I belong to Jesus. Therefore, I'm going to live according to his plan for my life, not my plan for my life. And when you come to that place, you'll find that your life takes a serious turn into blessing and goodness and, of course, challenges. In verse 5, it says, God has enriched our church in every way. And so he's provided for our church. Verse 7, we have every spiritual gift and eagerly await the return of the Lord. God has empowered us. Verse 9, we are invited into partnership with Jesus. Isn't that amazing? We're partners with Jesus, the Lord of glory. Awesome. I mean, he is so awesome, so powerful, can do so much. And he says, come and partner with me and I'll empower you to do what you need to do. I just consider that an incredible honour that he would think like that. So this morning I want to consider the gift of faith. And I have three beliefs. I mean, I have a lot of beliefs, but I just want to talk to you about three this morning. Firstly, that we require faith on earth to live our lives for Christ. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So to please God, we've got to operate by faith. That's, I call that general faith. And then secondly, we will operate faith in eternity. It may look different, but we have a God of faith. In Genesis 1:1, it says, God created the heaven and the earth, and then he began to speak into existence. He said, let there be light. Let there be the stars and the moon and the sun. Let there be, you know, fish in the sea and animals on the land. And then, of course, he didn't speak man into existence. He came and made man. And so God is a God of faith. And it's my personal belief. And can I prove it to you in Scripture? I'm not sure I can. But I believe that we develop faith here and we take it there. Faith just doesn't disappear because we suddenly got to heaven. I think that God has plans. If he's, look, the universe is still expanding. That's what's called the Doppler shift. They can tell that this universe is still expanding by the blue light colour as they look at what's happening in the universe. And so we've got an ever-creative God who will probably continue to do that throughout eternity, and we are a part of it. It's not clear in Scripture exactly what our roles in heaven will be, but I'm confident we will have roles. We'll have things to do. We're not going to sit around and just chew the fat or play harps. I know there's going to be worship to God, but that'll arise from our hearts, and worship can be anywhere. It doesn't have to be specifically in a place, because that's the relationship we'll have with God. We'll travel faster than the speed of light and be in another place in a second, less than a second. These are the futures we hold. And so my encouragement to you is you've got to develop your faith. Build your faith so that you then are prepared for the heavenly purposes that God will have for your life in eternity. But the third area I've come to realise in the last, I guess, a month or so, is that God is doing something on the earth. There's a rising of the Spirit of God. I see that we've heard about revivals in various areas. In our own church, we've experienced a lift in God, and I'm believing for that just to keep going and going. But the realm of faith is going to have to arise more in the people of God, because we need to realise that just as there is a realm of goodness of God and the gifts and grace of God, there's a realm of darkness. And I shared that prophecy with you when I spoke about speaking in tongues as one of the gifts of faith, one of the gifts of the Spirit, and how there was a great work of the Spirit of Jezebel across Australia, trying to stop the church from going forward, trying to stop the church from developing, trying to stop people from using their voice for the kingdom of God. And so we need faith to come against those things, to be able to stand. So darkness will increase. I don't think that you have to be very old. I'm sure you could be a teenager and say, wow, look how the world's gone down and the things that have happened in the world. Yeah, okay, if you keep your eyes on that, the world has gone down. But look on the other side, the church has gone up. God is doing good things. Yes, he's sorting out churches. He's causing things to be shaken. We knew that would come. That's part of the purpose of God. He wants to get rid of the dross so that what's left behind is effective for the kingdom of God. So I'm saying to you, you need to be involved, because With a God of faith, we understand He framed the worlds by the word of His mouth, but we have to come to a place where we are also operating in the realm of faith. And we can't be passenger Christians. I don't want you to get to heaven and say, if only. That would be my great cry. I want you to get to heaven and say, I did my best. My granddaughter will accomplish things. And when she was really little, and she's still little, but she climbed up a set of stairs. We were staying at a unit. And then she came down the stairs and she said, Zara, did it. I did it. That's what I want you to be able to say when you get to heaven. I did it. Not, if only I'd known. Please, I'm trying to help you find the way that you do know, that you can move forward in the things of God and in the realm of faith, that you can achieve what God has for you to do. Don't be a passenger Christian. Have you ever watched those, any sailing race, whether it's a single person in the little dinghy, whether it's two people, whether it's bigger boats, whether it's the Sydney Hobart or whatever the race is, you see how busy the guys on the yachts are. You know, you might see them sitting on the edge of the yacht while it's up in the air like that. They're not having a rest and enjoying the view. They're counterbalancing the boat there. And then suddenly they're racing around on winches and sails and doing a whole lot of stuff. Why? Because every man has to do a job on the boat. They don't carry passengers on yachts in races. Everybody has to do something. But opposed to that are the motor yachts or the speedboats. And so you see in Sydney Harbour when they're having the Hobart yacht race and they're racing off there, all these boats just sitting around there. And you see that the people on those are just passengers. Even the driver, he's just got to stand there and steer, push the vibes up in the motor and then steer. Don't be a motorboat Christian. Be a racing yacht Christian. Get involved. Whatever you have to do. Now, obviously, one guy steers the boat, another one's planning, you know, the best way to go, how to catch the breeze. Other people are doing sail work. Everybody's got a job. And that's true for you. You've got a job in God. Okay, let me talk about three kinds of faith. Firstly, there's faith for salvation. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 10 says, in fact, it says, the message is very close at hand, is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. Verse 9, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. So the first one is faith for salvation. You can't get saved. You can't have a head knowledge of salvation and just get by. That won't get you there. The Holy Spirit does something within us so that we hear the word preached, we hear that Jesus Christ is Saviour, something works in our heart to respond. We believe in our heart. Yes, I can believe that. And then out of the mouth comes a confession, Jesus, you're my Saviour. Forgive my sins. And then that brings the place of salvation and the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within. So that's the first kind of faith. The second one is a fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, 22, let's read that. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. But we realize that the fruits of the Spirit are meant to carry us through as Christians, but one of them is faith. It's the faith to live by. It's the faith that we are baptized by. When we baptize in water, we do that by faith. We don't baptize people who are just doing it because they want to get wet. That's not a good reason. There's the faith to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. There's faith to believe God's promises in the Word so we can receive the promises and declare the truth of God. But the third area of faith is a gift of faith. And this is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to read that to you this morning, verse 8. It says, talking about the operation of the gifts, it says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So there's a manifestation of the Spirit in your life for the profit of the whole body. And if you won't operate that gift, then the body's denied what God wants to bring it. So, verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So the Holy Spirit is working in us and wants to release. We call them the gifts of the Spirit. Let's not get too technical. He just wants to release within us the things he wants to bring forth. And I've said before, sometimes we're waiting on God to, you know, shake us, and we feel the vibe and we feel the presence, and therefore there must be a Spirit of God. Listen, most gifts of the Spirit don't come like that. They're just natural. They just flow out of us. And we bring them forth into the realms that God wants to release. So talking about the gift of faith, it's a supernatural, this is the definition, supernatural operation of the Holy Spirit in the experience of the believer, which enables the person to exercise an unwavering trust of God for his personal protection and for the provision of his needs. So this gift is called a passive gift, because you don't have to do something to receive what the Holy Spirit wants you to receive. And in that passivity, it doesn't mean that we just flop around, but we have an expectation that God is working. And I'm going to give you some examples which might help you to understand it. Let me mention Daniel in the lion's den first. I think everybody knows that story. But Darius the Mede. Now, what had happened, Nebuchadnezzar had established Babylon, and he was the ruler there, and he conquered many, many areas, and he'd gone down to Israel, and he'd brought back people like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and a number of others back to Babylon. And the reason why was because they were rebelling against God in Israel. So God says, all right, you're going to come up to Babylon, you'll be there for 70 years. Prophesied that by the prophet Ezekiel, I think. And so Daniel comes up there, and they find that Daniel is a very fine young man, and a man full of wisdom, plus he could interpret dreams. God gave him favour with Nebuchadnezzar. And then Nebuchadnezzar was defeated by the Medes and Persians. And there was Darius, the leader of the Medes, and Cyrus, the leader of the Persians, and they would alternate in their ruling. And so at this time that Daniel was here, when Darius was the king of Babylon, that Darius wanted to set up some administrators. And he put three in charge, and Daniel was by far the best. But that created a real spirit of jealousy in these other people. And so they thought, well, we're going to trick the king here. So they went to the king and they said, King, would you make a decree that nobody can pray to any god or idol except you for 30 days? Because they knew Daniel was a man who prayed unto his God. And so Darius, for whatever reason, signed that decree. Now, the issue was in those days that if a king signed a decree, it could not be changed. Not even the king could change the decree. And so he signed that up, and then these people went and they caught Daniel praying, because he heard the decree, but he wasn't going to stop praying to his God. Opened the windows towards Jerusalem, began to pray, and he did it three times a day. And so they came and they caught him. And therefore, they went to the king and they said, listen, king, didn't you sign this decree? And he said, yes. And they said, well, Daniel has been praying to his God. Now, the good news about this king was he was really upset about that. He tried all the rest of the day to try and get Daniel out of the problem, and worked on it. And then eventually he had to say, all right, take Daniel and put him in the lion's den. And it said the king then fasted all night, didn't get a wink's sleep, didn't watch any telly. In other words, he didn't have any entertainments. He was really concerned about Daniel. And he had to put his seal on the stone they rolled in front of the pit where the lions was, as the princes and elders did. They put their seal on that stone. So Daniel's in there with the lions. King's greatly disturbed, and you know the end of the story. That next day he goes down there early in the morning, because he hadn't slept all night. He said, Daniel, did your God preserve you? And Daniel said, yes, the angels of the Lord shut the mouths of the lion. And king said, great, open the stone, come out, Daniel. And then they threw the guys in that had tricked the king. And the Bible says, before they hit the ground, the lions had overpowered them and ripped them to shreds and ate them, I suppose. They were hungry lions. The point I'm making is the gift of faith was on Daniel. He had an absolute confidence that God would preserve him in the midst of a situation that was impossible. Everybody who faces lions gets eaten. I understand that lions are so powerful, their paws are so powerful, they can actually take a human being's head off his shoulders with a swipe like that. I don't want to see it. I don't want to experience it, but that's what I'm told. And so, but the point I'm making, Daniel had that gift of faith resting on him that protected him, and God sent the angels. So there's protection in the gift of faith. The next story is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, this is the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar built this huge, probably it would have been around 30 metres high, golden statue. And he said, whenever you hear the trumpets, everybody's got to bow down and worship. Well, these three guys, and they were actually, you know, leaders in community. They had positions of responsibility. They refused to do that. And the king said, look, I'm going to give you another chance. When you hear the trumpet, you bow down. And they said, look, we're not going to do it. We only bow before our God. And so the king said, all right, you're going to be thrown into the fire. And it said the king was so angry, he had the fire turned up seven times hotter than it normally is. And he commanded them to be thrown into the fire. So they bound them with ropes and the soldiers took them up there. I guess there was like a gangplank or whatever was there, and they cast them into the fire. And the soldiers who took them up there, they were consumed by the fire. That's how hot it was. And they weren't in the fire. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went down in the fire. Of course, their ropes burnt off. And the king says, hey, I see them walking around inside. And of course, he said, I see a fourth man. And we know that was the Lord Jesus that was in there with them. But what I'm saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are in the fire. And the king says, hey, come out. And they did. And they observed that their hair wasn't singed. Their clothes weren't scorched. They said not even the smell of smoke was upon them. The powerful thing that came out of that is that Nebuchadnezzar declared there is no God like the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and everyone must honour that God. So God was glorified. So this again was the gift of faith resting on these men, because they said to the king, well, you could throw us in the fire and we might burn, but we trust our God and we'll only serve him. And God preserved them. And Nebuchadnezzar made a decree. Same thing back when Daniel was out of the lion's den. Darius, the Mede, said, this God is a great God. God was glorified. So that's the element of protection that comes by the gift of faith. David and Goliath, I believe that David had that gift resting upon him. I mean, he's facing a man who was over 3 metres tall. Now, you know, we can say 3 metres, but you go home and imagine in your house, your ceiling is not 3 metres. I mean, there are some houses with high ceilings, but a normal ceiling's about 8 feet, isn't it? 8 feet ceilings in a house? I can't tell you what it is in metres. I've met a guy who's 7 feet, 11 inches. And I'll tell you what, you think, oh, okay, he's tall. Well, the fact is, if he walked into a house, his head would be bumping the roof at the ceiling. That is big. So here's this giant that David's facing. And the Bible said he was a ruddy lad. He was a stripling. In other words, there was not much of him. He didn't go to the gym out there minding the sheep. He wasn't bench pressing the sheep to try and get strength. He wasn't running miles to build up his... But you see, what happened in David's life, he faced the lion and the bear. Now, why would you do that? It's more important, you know, lose a sheep than take the life of the shepherd. It was because the gift of faith came on David. And so he could face the lion and take it out, face the bear and take it out, because God's protected him. And so when he faced Goliath, he said, hey, this guy's easy meat. I'll get him. I mean, he knew in God he could, because he knew the gift of faith on his life would protect him from Goliath. And so here comes Goliath rumbling along. Huge weapons. I mean, he wouldn't have even needed a weapon to take down David. He could have, I mean, literally, he could have ripped David's head off his body. He had that strength and size. But see, David trusted God, and his life was preserved. And then, of course, there was another gift working, the gift of miracles. And he took the stone, pum, in the mind of, or in the forehead of Goliath, took him down and cut his head off. But let me just relate the story to a man named George Mueller. George Mueller ran orphanages in the UK. In past years, back in the 1800s, there were a lot of kids who were orphaned for whatever reason, and thousands of them. And so he established these homes to just look after these orphans. And George Mueller ran a church as well, and he would never ask people to give money. He said, I'm going to trust God entirely for provision. See, that's the gift of faith, God's provision. So he never asked for money. He never outwardly, said, let money come in. He just said, folks, there's a box by the door back there. When you finish church, you want to drop something in, that's great. That's all he did. He never said, let's give money. And he ran these orphanages. And there were nights when they sat the children down at the tables with not a scrap of food in the house. And they said to the kids, we're going to say grace. And they said grace. And then there was a knock at the door. And boxes of food would be at the door to feed the children. What an amazing man. In the statistics of what he provided for children and the food that required it ran into, in today's currently, tens of millions of dollars that he just simply trusted God for. See, gift of faith. Sometimes we jump out of what God wants to do. Jump out of God's provision, jump out of God's protection, because we think, I got to protect myself. So we get ourselves a weapon of some kind, you know, whether it's an axe or a machete or a gun, I'm going to protect myself. When maybe God's saying, I'm your protection. If you just trust me, nothing will touch you. See, the gift of faith, God, the Holy Spirit wants to bring that out in your life. And so let me just relate perhaps some of my experiences. I very strongly believe, you know, I speak blessing over this congregation. You know I do that. I usually bless you before you go. And that's just not a ritual that I am performing, because I believe for God's blessing on your life. So I am speaking God's provision and protection over you in faith that your life might receive that, that you be blessed, that you be protected. And I believe that's the gift of faith operating there. We have to rise up, folks, to be seeing what God wants to do and flowing with that. And so I absolutely believe that. I think that the same thing applies to this very land that we're on. We had to fight for it. We had to pray much. Council was in opposition to us. There was just so many issues. But we came to a point where I believe the gift of faith came on us, and we just trusted God to move forward. Provision of land, development of land, provision of finance, funding to build. And I've said before, the debt we started with was the debt we finished with. In other words, $20 million went into the development of this site, which God provided. Gift of faith, release of God to bring that forth. So these things are real. I'm not talking about something that's out there. I've seen it happen. The provision for the church and the school over the years, I've had to come to God in prayer and then just let the gift come and trusted God that he would bring what we need. We have to also, in the overcoming the powers of darkness, know how to trust God and know that God's got it all in hand. We, against our school and ultimately against our church, there's been a spirit of Jezebel operating. You may not know what the spirit of Jezebel is. It's probably the most powerful spirit operating. And Jezebel is, the name of a queen back in the Old Testament. But this is not a female spirit. This is a spirit that seeks to divide, conquer and destroy. This spirit wants to divide people, wants to break relationships. This spirit wants to destroy leadership. It goes after leadership big time. Wants to bring down leadership because they know if they can bring down leadership, they can destroy the work that God is doing. And so we've been praying much in dealing with that. And I just want to say, I think Dawna De Silva talks about ministering in the opposite spirit, doesn't she? Yeah. This lady, Dawna De Silva, by the way, will be with us in September, coming for Extreme and then also preaching in our church. That's exciting. She's a powerful lady, comes from Bethel. And she talks about moving in the opposite spirit. And really, against the spirit of Jezebel, we bring the spirit of love. Because love keeps relationship. Love believes the best of people. Love stops the destruction. Love brings unity. God brings blessing with his unity. See, gift of faith operating. We break against these things. We come against these things, but we come in a spirit of love. You can't come in the same spirit as a spirit that's attacking. You've got to come in the opposite spirit. So that's what we're doing, and we're rising up. Did we mention the prayer meeting this morning? Well, I was visiting other places. We did, okay. I encourage you, come and join us for prayer at 5 o'clock. We have to do business. Kingdom of darkness wants to overwhelm this world, this city, your life. But we won't let it. We're standing in prayer, and I invite you to come and join us, that we can make a stand together, do these things for God. Okay. When God works through his people, he gives them a gift of his spirit so that they are united with him in the manifestation of his power. And God's intention is for all Christians to receive a gift of the Holy Spirit, or as gifts are needed, he will work them through us. But to be used for the kingdom and for the revelation of God's glory. We're here to bring God glory. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what else. We want to bring God glory, and we want to see the extension of his kingdom. And I've said it before, and I want you to hear it again. Someone is waiting on the other side of your obedience for a miracle. And you, in the Holy Ghost, can bring them a miracle. Whatever that miracle needs to be, if you'll be obedient to the Spirit as he begins to work within you. And that's my encouragement. I said to start with, don't get too technical. Don't say, now what gift do I need? Just trust the Holy Spirit to bring the gift out that you do need. But it means cooperating with the Holy Spirit. It means hearing what he's saying. It means flowing. It means building a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We talk about, you know, walking in love with the Lord. Well, you know, a man can love his wife, but just be too busy to be at home. He said, oh, because I love you, I'm working so hard to provide everything for you, but she just wants him there. Well, we need to think about that with Jesus. We're loving Jesus. Let's not get so busy in our lives, even if we're working for the kingdom, even if we're doing mighty things for God. We've got to stop and spend time with the God of our creation, our Saviour, and love him and walk there. So this morning, I'm going to pray with you. Believe in God to release his gifts into your life. And I will finish this series soon. I want to talk about healings and miracles because we need to see those operating. In this day and age, we need the gift of healings working and the gift of miracles. And I believe in a God of miracles. And I am speaking miracles from the heavenlies to the natural. And I want you to join me in that. Why don't you stand this morning? We're going to pray. Worship team, thank you. Come. This is a great day and age to be alive. Yep, there are challenges, but yep, there are great things happening. You know, I'm committed to the rapture. And we are in the last days of the last days. Can I predict a time? No, I cannot and I will not. But I am very convinced it's not far away. Our friend Brian Scott turned 80 just a few weeks ago. I reckon he's hanging out for the rapture. He's not going till the rapture comes. Mind you, he could live to 100, but I don't want the rapture to take that long. Bring it on, and it'll happen. But until that time, we've got to do everything we can because God wants to bring a harvest into the kingdom, and you and I are a part of that. Okay, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we are just people who are amazed that you would look at just simple human beings. We're humbled by the fact of your love and your intent, that you invite us to partner with you, the God of all creation. How amazing is that? Lord, we just simply open our hearts today and say, all right, Lord, I surrender. I open my heart to you. Work in me. Let the gifts of the Spirit arise in me so that I can be used, that you might be glorified, the kingdom extended, and people born again, and the church of Jesus Christ throughout the world will be filled with people who come to know God. Father, I release this by faith this morning with an expectation that these things will come to pass. And in the days ahead, we will share some exciting stories of the things that God has done in us and through us. In the precious name of my almighty Saviour, whom we love and adore, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's just worship for a minute before we conclude. I want to encourage you, as we worship, open your hearts. So here I am, Lord. Here I am. You know, I'm not bringing much. There ain't much of me to give. But I give it to you. Will you do something within me? If you'll just have that simple heart, I'll tell you what, God will do something extraordinary. Okay? Amen. Thank you, guys. This morning, I'm releasing the gift of faith in my life to speak over you. the provision and protection of God. Are you ready? Father, I stand as a man who surrendered to you in every regard, speaking over these dear people your provision and your protection. And by the gift of faith today, I believe for that to transpire in their life in a mighty measure. The Lord, they being anointed by you, blessed by you, will be people who can spread the blessing and the love of God and the glory of God. For we seek to live for you, our God, in all things. For you indeed are good. Amen and amen. God bless you, dear folk. Go in God. Have a great week. Enjoy the blessing. Enjoy the presence. Amen.